You ready, Mandy?
I'm ready.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 77 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with game changers and educators from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And while you're checking us out on iTunes, make sure you leave a review for us as we select a winner each week of somebody who's left a review on iTunes to send you an autographed book set with bracelet and sticker.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. This week, we got another great guest, but first we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
My name's Todd Nesloni, elementary school principal in Navasota, Texas. And our special guest this week is the Mandy Ellis. Mandy, thanks for being with us this week.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We also want to remind our viewers you can participate in social media, pointing out things that you love from the episodes, whether you're watching live or seeing the recording later. Use the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt.
So, Mandy, we got a few questions for you. So, for those that don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
Sure. I'm a K-5 principal in Central Illinois, just outside of Peoria, north of there in Dunlap. I've been there. This is going on my sixth year. My background before that was as a special education teacher, and really just excited to be here tonight and share my love of kids and how to develop positive cultures within our schools. So that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. Well, you've been an administrator for a few years now. So what would you say is probably your favorite part of leading a school?
My favorite part is the relationships down, you know, that is simply it. It's the relationships with the kids, the relationships with the parents, and relationships with the teachers, and the community for that matter, and just building those and seeing that, especially now that I've been in the same building for the last 5 years, seeing a student grow from kindergarten through fourth grade and build those relationships along it. That's definitely the best part.
So being in the same school for 5 years is awesome. What is something in this last year that you're really proud of? Maybe you've been like working on for a few years and it's kind of come to fruition.
Wow. You know, I think when you finally see a team come together, you ride through some difficult times as a crew together, as you see a book study come to fruition and ideas being implemented. One thing the team has really gravitated towards this year is flexible seating in their classrooms. So we're going full out implementation in all of our classrooms next year. Our district is rolling out one-to-one, so that piece is going to be really exciting to see. And then the other piece is our main goal is to develop a culture of leaders and a culture of readers. And seeing some of those plans and seeing kids with books in their hands, kids assuming leadership roles in all elements of the school, those are things I'm really, really proud of.
So I got to ask, what device are you guys moving forward with for one-to-one?
Second through 12th grade, they will have Chromebooks, and K-1, the team decided on iPads.
Awesome. Good choice.
Chromebooks. Yeah, I know, right?
So, Mandy, when you think about what's your schooling growing up, what was school like for you?
Guys, you know, I just reached out to my superintendent and my principal from the school I grew up in, and I went to a blue ribbon school. I had some great leaders that led the buildings I was in, and I feel like the same principles apply. The things that I remember most about school are the things that I want my teachers and my students to feel, and those that the keys with the relationships and how they felt about being in school, and not necessarily the content and the curriculum. I remember pieces of that, but I remember specific teachers and specific instances of times that somebody reached out or a moment, and I that's what I want my kids to leave with, is those experiences and those memories in my building, and the same thing with my teachers. It looks a little bit different now, I think, but like I said, having a strong foundation has made me really appreciate where I came from and what's being done now in education. Definitely a lot of room to grow, and I think just the philosophy of continuous improvement, always seeking to evolve and change with the times, is super important.
Love that. So what is the hardest part for you about being in education?
Adam.
Me?
you know, it's when, you know, Dave Burgess writes in his book about alien looks, and sometimes when you're trying to stretch yourself, trying to challenge your staff to take risks, and being met with questions and those kind of alien looks, those people that are not quite sure what your goal is or what you're doing. But I've always said, if I know what I'm doing is in the best interest of kids, then I feel confident in that.
That's great. So when you think about, because I know you're already in that mode of starting to think about next school year, because y'all just recently ended, what would you say is probably a goal that you already have for next year?
Sure. Well, our staff is pretty much complete. I'm super excited to move forward with some strong teachers and teacher leaders, and so empowering them to take risks in their classroom. But the other goal then would be establishing some student leadership and ownership kinds of teams. We're really excited about bringing student leaders into our instructional leadership teams, which has historically been done with just teachers, pulling in some parents in those instructional leadership teams, and really getting a voice from everybody that's involved. I'm especially interested in hearing what the kids have to say and what improvements they want to make in our building, and have them lead some of those improvements out too.
I love that you're getting kids involved in that process. That student voice, you know, is so important. Mandy, so who is someone that inspires or challenges you to be better?
Sure. You know, my staff definitely, but if I really had to pick, you know, specific people, I have three in mind. My parents obviously didn't always have necessarily the same aspirations, but all they did is encourage education. My dad would always say, Mandy, spread your wings and fly, and you know, he valued education. My mom too, were always the champions behind me, rooting me on. I had a tremendous leader and mentor in college named Dr. Helia Antela Crow. She teaches still at Bradley University and really, really focuses on cultural diversity and engaging all people in the education process. And I still keep in touch with her. And then finally, you know, there's specific teachers in my building, and I think they know who they are, who I expect to come challenge me, and my door is open for that. And I want them to come into my office and share an idea with me or challenge me on a decision so that we can grow together and make improvements for our school. So those three groups or types of people, I think, are mine.
Well, I heard you mention earlier that one of the things about your school is getting those kids to the love of literacy kind of thing. What is a book that you've read recently that you would recommend to some of our viewers, whether it's professional or not?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So like you and I can talk about books all day. And I think one of my biggest frustrations in education is when I ask another principal or I ask another educator, it's a standard question in my interviews. What are you reading or currently have read that has made an impact? And they don't have an answer. Or they say, I don't have time for reading. And I have two kids and I'm a full-time working mom and I'm in carpool and they're down at the pool right now having fun and I'm doing this. And I feel like I have a balanced approach to my life and I can still embed reading in my day. And it's Donna Miller kind of changed that for me with Book Whisper and Reading in the Wild, and seizing those reading emergencies, finding those 10 minutes within your day that you can pick up a book and read through it, or, you know, just making sure you always have a next goal in mind for what book you're reading. So definitely her two books. And one I actually referenced when I was texting Adam was Read Aside, and I can't remember the author right now, but that really impacted me as how we're killing the love of reading in our kiddos. And they talked about having a reading flood zone, and there's so many times you walk into a building and you're like, what are your true goals here? What is your environment saying about you and what you value at school? And I would hope that when you walk into my building, you see books and you see kids and you see just that resonates really loudly. And so those three books, and then what that's done to my building is there are books everywhere. Books in the hallways, books in bathtubs, books in bookshelves, books outside on the playground in a little library, books in tubs. And it's because kids should have access to books with no strings attached. And I don't know why we're so formal with the expectations for how and what they should read all the time.
I love that. I think that's wonderful. And I love your comment too about, you know, as especially as leaders, whether it's a campus leader or we're in a district level position or anything like that, we have to be finding that time to read. And I know for me, even when I struggle with finding that time to sit down with the book, that's for me when Audible has even been great to have downloaded on my phone. And when I drive, anytime I drive, I don't even listen to music anymore. I download a book on Audible and I catch up with it there. And I have books too that I've been listening to. And then when I can get to a point where I can pick it up, I find the page where I'm at from listening to it and I'll read. And then when I stop there, I fast forward in Audible. So, I mean, there's so many things at our disposal that not reading is just truly not an option anymore for educational leaders.
Oh, I get sick to my stomach. And Twitter too is great for that. Like favorite a tweet, come back to the blog post when you have a minute, subscribe to certain blogs that I like to follow. So, you know, I never grew up as a reader. I kind of evolved over time, and I just don't feel like there's excuses for not being a reader when you're, you know, you got to walk the walk with your kiddos and they'll see through that. You're going to make me read, but you're not taking the time to do it. So I want them to know that I'm reading what they're reading. I'm reading books to make myself a better principal. I'm reading books to make myself a better mom. And walk the walk.
Well, you're also known to kind of ride scooters around your school, stand on tables, just do all kinds of things to get kids excited about school. Where does kind of that drive or those ideas or that passion comes from that you want to do things a little bit differently sometimes?
You know, I just think when a kid, I get a card from a kid, and we all get those, the cute little pictures of thanks for being my principal. I don't recall necessarily specific things my principal did when I was a kid. And I want kids to feel like I'm on their side and I'm a part of their team. And that, you know, it's okay for them to, you know, Fridays I take a bike horn because I took it off my scooter and I use it as my, you know, when they leave the building. And so they know, like, oh, it's Friday, Mrs. Ellis has her horn. She's, you know, telling us to have a good weekend or whatever. It's just those little times that make them smile because you never know what they're going home to, what's been a part of their day with their peers, any of their classroom assignments. So, and I also feel like it opens up those relationships for when there are challenging times and things do need to be addressed, that they know that I have, you know, that side that is there for them and is going to make them laugh and be a part of their day, but then also be there to guide them if there's any other issues in the future. So, yeah, tug of war, don't recommend that. And monkey bar slides are okay. Going down the slides would be all right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you guys have done that once or twice too, right, Adam?
Oh, yes, all the time when I was a principal, yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
I love the bike horn. All right, Mandy, every week we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
I was so excited about this challenge for me to come up with a challenge. And when I had to think about what am I really passionate about, it is literacy. And so my challenge for the listeners is to really connect kids. It's summertime in Illinois. Kids are out of school. And so a lot of people can wash their hands of, okay, I'm not in teacher. I'm not in principal mode anymore. But my challenge for listeners is to really find opportunities to connect kids to books and connect kids to reading over the summer. And so that might be reading aloud a picture book and posting it to your school Facebook page, or sending a book in the mail to a kid that you know might not have access to one over the summer. Might be doing something on your classroom blog to have kids reflect or share information about a book they're reading, or showing up at a library story time. Just to see what your students are there. One thing we're doing at Dunlap Grade is doing popsicles with the principal and donuts and PJs and inviting kids into the building, no strings attached, and having some treats and reading books together. So really just creating a love. So I encourage anybody who's thinking about that just to kind of reach out and connect kids to books in some way this summer.
Love it.
I think that is brilliant. I love that idea. Well, Mandy, thank you so much for being a guest for us this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. You guys are awesome.
We want to also thank our viewers for watching the show. And remember to tweet us using the hashtag KidsDeserveIt. We also encourage you to go onto iTunes and leave a review, as we're going to select a winner after this episode and every week. And make sure to include your Twitter handle so we know how to get a hold of you. We hope you join our Twitter chats on Wednesday and our show with our guests next week. Everybody have a great afternoon.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.